Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Much to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Jimmy Campbell is here. It's the World Cup. It's the World Cup. It's the World Cup.
I love this tawny. Tawny's a good word.
It is. It's not used here.
It's not used enough.
It's used tawny, in the States. Hey, the World Cup in North America.
Yes.
The World Cup tawny.
Tawny.
Come on.
How do you know when the World Cup's fully underway? Pete Donaldson's fucked off to the Isle of Wight Festival. That's how you know. I'm on the buttons. Donaldson's nowhere to be seen. Indeed. Let's finally have a good time.
Luke told us just before we came on that he'd written a song about the World Cup, which we just
learned.
We just learned and sung for you there, ladies and gentlemen. So expect that to zoom up the charts.
My rationale for it was, if I just instantly think of something and sing it, it will be better than that Andrew Flintoff effort. And it was.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Rah, rah, Rasputin.
That's enough of that.
Okay.
England's got a goal machine.
Well, it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that Zlatko Dalic was absolutely right. It was Croatia's easiest game of the group, wasn't it?
A walk in the park.
A stroll in the park. I don't think they even broke into a walk, did
Marcus,
they?
Marcus, Luka Modric, in and out the dusty bluebells. In and out of those dusty bluebells all
their
day
dogs.
Long.
They're having picnics on that lovely red and white picnic blanket.
One for the Scottish listeners there, perhaps, of a certain age.
I think the writing was on the wall when...
Lionel Messi was crying during the anthem.
I was actually going to say,
please, can I not do this anymore?
In the national anthems, when Lionel Messi was doing an impression of Bob Hoskins in The Long Good Friday. Just sort of like going...
No, at least there was anger.
Rubbing his face.
No, but he could have turned that anger into energy, as John Lydon once told us.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He looked scared.
Yeah. I don't know if he was scared. I just think he was exasperated and thought, do you know what? I don't know if I actually want to be.
He was full of dread. Scared is maybe wrong, but stressed and full of dread. You know.
Oh,
depressed.
Do you know what? A number of months ago, I think I was talking about, didn't I? And I've gone on about it. I thought it was going to be 0-0 against Iceland. Oh, Argentina, they look soft at the corner, blah, 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 blah. And then as the tournament came along, I sort of slightly bottled it. And I wish I hadn't, because they've proved right to be, haven't they? I mean, a lot of people far more learned than I, Jim, believe it or not.
Can't find them many places, can you?
Well, I think you have to go far and wide.
Yeah.
And,
through those dusty blue
or short and narrow, as we've discovered. That people saying that Argentina have been a disaster, but you always think, yeah, but when they get to a tournament, yes, they have flattered to deceive in tournaments, and not that long ago, it was 0-2, they went out the first round and so on.
Yeah. Finalists in the last one.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, you know, Messi sort of papered over the cracks a little bit, but they looked quite solid at times. You know, when they played the Dutch, when they played the Belgians, even though the Belgians didn't have much going forward, they still they got clean sheets in those games. They looked a bit solid. They provided a bit of a platform for, say, Messi to try and conjure up something, even though they were slightly over-reliant, but he still, by and large, delivered at times in that tournament. But this is so flimsy and so...
Yes, it's just weak.
And Marcus, they're on their third manager of the qualification and World Cup cycle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells its own story, I'd argue.
It certainly does.
You know, and Sampaoli looked a pretty forlorn figure. I mean, he looked angry, he looked quite animated, but he was still quite forlorn. And...
Forlorn Andre Agassi.
Yeah, exactly. Andre Agassi in that dark period of his career that we won't go into that he talked about in his book.
Oh, yeah.
Open.
Andre Agassi living in the back of the Mondeo, let's say. Let's call it that. Yeah. Let's call it that. That's the Sampaoli style, isn't it? A lot of tattoos as well. A surprising amount of tattoos, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're playing like a 3-4-2-1, weren't they? I don't want to get too deep into tactics, but for me, you've got to have Banega in there. You've got to have him in there. He's tough. He can do something. I prefer him to the players that are playing there instead at the moment, particularly Perez. And you know, getting on this Perez thing as well. I mean, Tim Vickery, who is very learned on all matters South American football, was talking about, you know, Sampaoli with his teams. And we've seen this ourselves. You know, his Chile team.
Oh, yeah.
They're quick, they're fast, they're energetic. When you think about a Sampaoli team, you think about energy, you think about pressing, all that kind of stuff. And this Argentinian team clearly... aren't able to do it.
They're not equipped to that.
And the great example of that would be Enzo Perez, who I think only came in late because Manuel Lanzini was withdrew, and he was on holiday when he came in, and he's clearly not fit. Yet you're asking him to tear around like a maniac.
The whole thing from head to toe just smacks of not being prepared, not knowing what to do. I mean, this is a great example. And funny, Jonathan Wilson wrote a great piece about it and likened Argentina to what England often produce. This is a great example of having some...
Hang on. About 4 days ago, I said Argentina looked like England, and now Wilson's ripped it off, and now you're crediting him. How many more times is this going
to
happen?
I just feel it's safer to credit him rather than you.
I bought all his books. That's how he repays me.
And he's bought all of yours.
He probably hasn't.
But it's a little bit of, it's a good example. Sorry, that's what I'm saying. Good example of a team with a handful of phenomenal players. You can't tell me that this Argentina team isn't as good as, some of the teams that we've seen prepare quite well and go about their duties.
Absolutely.
So it's a great example of just everyone not knowing their jobs. Yeah. And this is what we used to get so annoyed with England, and hopefully that's not the case this time without going on about England. But it was the thing is, you know, when Wales go into Euro 2016, they knew their jobs.
Yeah.
You've got to know what you're doing. This is such a great example of that, that if you don't, it all goes to nonsense. And Cesc Fabregas on the BBC said they look broken. And this was an interesting quote. He said, they look like they were playing against each other, not for each other.
Yeah, I mean, there is also a sense of huge disjointedness in that team, where the plan seems to have been at some point, give it to Messi. Oh no, there's three men on Messi. What else do we do? Sampaoli even said, as you touched on, Luke, on the show before, that if there are three men on Messi, there's space elsewhere and that they need to exploit that. And they didn't. And these are players like Sergio Aguero, you know. They're not just...
But Jim, against Croatia, they didn't even get to the stage where they give it to Messi.
Well, Messi hardly touched the ball.
49 times he touched it. Dybala said before the tournament, he said, oh yeah, I've slipped into it before playing for Argentina. It's just so easy to just give it to Messi.
Yeah, because he said Messi's too good and you also don't get the time to prepare a proper game plan. But now, that's the same for everyone, though. You've got to find ways to do that. This is such a waste of that generation of players. They are so frustrating to watch. And I think if you were coming to the tournament cold, not knowing the history of football at all, you wouldn't have Argentina pegged as a big name, you know, as a team that have done stuff before, as a nation that have
based on what we've seen.
Yeah, they've just been so weak.
I find their approach extraordinary. Sampaoli said post-match, Leo is limited because the team doesn't gel ideally with him as it should. The reality of the Argentina squad clouds his brilliance. Messi is our captain. He leads the team and we quite simply couldn't pass to him to help him generate the situations he's used to. He had one shot at goal, Messi, the whole game, compared to 11 in the previous game. Match that with what Dybala said and so on. I just find it extraordinary because we've seen sides, good sides and not so good sides, with a clearly an outstanding player. I go back to Wales in 2016. They said, right, we know what our strengths are. It's Gareth Bale mainly, but they would also had other few bits and pieces. We will provide a platform to him to go and do his thing, like a free role. Look at Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo. You can approach it like that, but Argentina, they don't have to do that. You know, they've got other players. And if you're worried about maybe one or two players being a little bit starry-eyed, well, put maybe Di Maria in there, because he's a huge player as well.
Yeah, but he was awful in the first game, though, wasn't he?
It was a collective... I think the whole thing so disjointed, so strange, and so unwise. Do you know what I mean?
Realistically, there's two things I don't think you can excuse. One is... Dybala's, by the way, Dybala's comments... If I'm right,
plays for Juventus.
I think we're even worse than what you guys are saying. I think he actually said he found it impossible to play with Messi.
Yeah, he did.
So that's even worse.
Well, maybe that's why Messi's dropped him effectively.
Yeah, well,
but he came on.
If they're playing a 3-4-2-1, which they were, then play Dybala instead of Meza, because Meza's nowhere near Dybala's level. And so you can have two players. Then you've got a situation that, I don't know, that France moved towards, or Chelsea play, where you have two players behind a striker. Mm-hmm. And that striker in Argentina's case is Sergio Aguero. Now, if you wanted to play Higuain, who's a bit more physical or whatever, then you've got the option to do that as well. So that's a way they can instantly improve, I suppose, in theory. But the other thing is, there's absolutely no reason why Sampaoli hasn't set them up more solidly with shape and organisation, and why they can't be a little bit more compact. And they didn't seem, in a weird way, it was similar on one level to what Germany were like against Mexico, as far as there just seemed to be gaps everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason they can't get back into shape when they haven't got the ball, for example. But they just don't seem to be fit. They look really, really unfit. And I wonder if it's an extension of how Sampaoli likes to play. Because surely Sampaoli isn't so much of a one-trick pony that he just looks at a group of players and says, right, if you can't play that ultra pressing game that I played with Chile, then I've got no other option.
But it sort of seems like that. That's the weird thing.
And I think also, by the way, I am someone who's on record on this show constantly saying I don't particularly rate Marcus Rocco. But if you're playing,
said Rocco. Though.
If you're playing free at the back, you got to play him.
Is he the exception to the Marcus rule?
He's Marcos, though.
I know, but it's sort of...
And in this context, it is good to have a Marcos.
It would be nice for him to have a Marcos. So. I think he's better than what they already have in there. Because Otamendi looked all at sea.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying drop off Otamendi, but you need Otamendi in there. But I think you need to have... I know he's not played an awful lot of football, Rocco, and he's got his limitations, but he plays on the left of a three for Man United.
Yeah.
So play him.
Yeah, true. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Croatia, it has to be said, were fantastic as well. They just effectively let Argentina just compete, kick themselves and just were there to pick up the pieces.
Absolutely right.
a brilliant, sort of almost controlled demolition of Argentina's Just pounced and they were superb.
Is it fair to say that Rebic capitalized on that Willy Caballero mistake, didn't he?
He had a decent amount to do still.
But
he did, but up to that point, I mean, Argentina looked uninspiring, but they were obviously, it was 0-0. They were in the game. It was one of those games you think, well, this could go either way because not a huge amount has particularly happened. But then it was just like,
well, Dalic says
so much about Argentina, doesn't it, that they concede one and then just fall apart.
Dalic said at half time to the Croatian players, he said, "You've missed a few chances. You'll get more.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Mm. You will get more. You will be able to capitalise quite happily."
Well,
here.
Mandzukic and Perez had two big chances in the opening 45 minutes that they missed out.
I wonder if Perez had scored that for Argentina. You wonder what would have happened.
Mm. That is a fair point, but still, the system was still poor. Rubbish. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like, even if Argentina had gone 1-0 up, give him more confidence and so on, it would just paper over the cracks because Croatia would then think, right, we're going to have to come at them. And the gaps and the errors and down the flanks as well, it would still be there. And Caballero's mistake. Caballero, you know, what was he?
36.
He's 36. He had a competitive debut against Iceland, was it? He's not a goalkeeper for playing out the back. He's been asked to do that, which is a mistake, and he probably won't be asked to do that ever again in his career on the evidence of that.
But I'm not sure he'll be asked to play again.
Well, it's all over the place, but Croatia were magnificent.
They were.
They was absolutely superb. And, I mean, that pass from Modric in the first half to Rebic, I think it was, who slightly miscontrolled and didn't quite get in. You thought to yourself, oh yeah, they have that. They've got that available to them in their armour.
And if we're talking about teams that I don't know how long ago it was now, all the days seem to blend into one when you're in the middle of the World Cup, but maybe 4 or 5 days ago we were mentioning the idea that the only team we thought had really impressed us was Spain. Now, of course, Spain followed that up with a fairly flat performance in their second game, but Croatia have been very good now for two games.
Yeah.
And I don't think as bad as Argentina have been by their own standards, as shambolic their situation is with the amount of managers they've been through, and Messi taking the qualification by the scruff of their neck and sneaking them in there, Croatia still were good. I mean, they've got those two centre backs look really good. Lovren and the other fella's name, I forget it. He's got a mad haircut. Mm-hmm. They both look really solid. They both look like they work well together. Rakitic and Modric are, you know. If you're putting a World 11 together,
yep,
and they're putting those two in there, you're not going to complain about that.
Yeah,
that's how good they are.
Perisic out wide.
He and Mandzukic gets through so much work. He's really slow, Mandzukic, but he's tough.
And Kovacic on the bench to come on.
Yeah.
Oh, was it lovely to see Chorluka get a little run out at the end?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Nice.
100th cap.
Yeah.
Wow. Love it.
Where was Lex Pompey man?
Who?
Kosanecki.
No.
Yeah, where's Kosanecki?
You know, Redknapp always used to sign him.
Oh, Krenko.
Oh, yeah, where's Krenko?
He's probably down sandbags.
Yeah. Krenko probably would have still been fitter and quicker than Enzo Perez.
I think so,
yeah.
that first goal, Jim.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Ridiculous. It was like a FIFA goal. It was the sort of goal Luke and I give away to you on FIFA.
Yeah. What I loved about that goal is, if you watch it again, he's got time to take a touch, steady himself and slot. Just thought, nah.
Yeah, it's like his boot said, shut up.
It's the bleeding World Cup and I'm going to show the world what I'm going to do.
Score a vol.
He's a good player and he's not someone who's come up an awful lot even on the continent, has he, Marcus?
No, yeah, he hasn't.
Plays for Eintracht Frankfurt, I think won the cup this year in Germany.
Mm.
So I wonder if he's another player that you think, much like Lozano, who got that sort of eye-catching goal for Mexico, whether he might get a big move after this tournament if Croatia go far, which I think they probably will, by the way. Yeah. I mean, they look so good.
Oh, they do.
They look very, very solid.
They'll fear nobody, I think, based on how they play. And also, they have names in their team as well, which is I think an important thing in terms of confidence when coming up against those big heavyweight names in the tournament, such as they have with Argentina now. So, going back to Argentina, if I may, do you think they've got a chance of getting the three goals they're probably going to need against Argentina and getting through the group?
Nigeria. They do.
They are playing themselves effectively.
Yeah, I think they do. And perhaps we'll mention that just before the break. But in the Croatian midfield, Brozovic, was it, who came in, who was playing in front of the back four, He gives them so much in games like that. Modric and Rakitic can then just go and play.
Mm.
He plays for Inter. He's had a decent season for them, as far as I'm aware.
Mm.
They just look so good.
They've got a nice
midfield
balance as well.
And Modric's goal It just made, if anyone was in doubt about his quality, because I know for Real Madrid, sometimes you can, he just pass in the centre of the pitch and doesn't get too many of the headlines, understandably. But the way he got the ball with the opposition player, I forget who it was in front of him, and he just said, I've just got to get him out of the way. There we go. And curls it in.
He's so good, he can invent a dance and score a goal at the same time.
Argentina are now 11-8 with Bet365 to qualify out of the group. £10 returns £23.75, including stakes, should they do so. As Jim said, eventually, it's Nigeria next, and they need a big win there.
But the way the Rakitic goal went in, I think that Wilson called it a sarcastic third. That was embarrassing.
It was. That was
embarrassing.
A team that stopped playing for each other because they're frustrated with each other.
Well, I think it was also, Jim, that they were acting like they were already out.
Yeah.
But they're gone. They're going home.
Yeah. Well, it says, we've said so many times, sometimes you get those games where it feels like football is just happening to a team and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it, and they're sort of paralysed by it. Now, if I can just zoom out a little bit, we're already... above the stands, actually.
Are you looking at Maradona?
Past him.
Okay.
We are already on the longest run of World Cups without a South American winner, which is three.
Mm.
And, I mean, unless Brazil turn up, it looks like it's, you know, Brazil are effectively, based on what we've seen so far, the only realistic hope for that at the moment. I know there's a lot of football to go. We haven't properly seen Colombia yet with 11 players. But, I mean, could it be that we're now of a generation where the best talent has been leaving South America as teenagers, effectively... for as long as this generation of players has existed, and is that affecting them to the point where actually at international level they're really suffering?
It's an extension of what we've talked about on the continent, and obviously we don't cover South American football on that, but I imagine it's exactly the same where, and we talked about it in the context of Ajax and the Dutch tradition of producing great players, whereas Andy and James would say now that these players aren't waiting to 23, 24, 25 to go to big European leagues, they're now going at 18. They go at 19. I imagine it's exactly the same in South America, and the continent in general is suffering as a result. Brazil played well for periods against Switzerland. We'll see them later today against Costa Rica, which you don't imagine they'll have any problem with.
No.
But it does look like, I wasn't even really very, I know it's difficult to judge them because of the situation, but I wasn't that impressed with Colombia. And so Brazil really do look like the only hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for South America, certainly. Yeah. Also, Argentina's youth system is just not producing. You know, between the mid-90s and, I forget now, 2007, 2008, something like that, they won quite a few youth tournaments. They were producing a lot of players they haven't done. And that
Well, it's sort of out of their hands now, isn't it? Because these players, a lot of the players, you know, for all of the South American teams here, would have been in Europe for a long, long time.
Very much so.
They were teenagers and since they were kids in some cases.
But with regards to them beating Nigeria, which they'll need to do, and they will be watching Nigeria v Iceland with a lot of intrigue, of course. And Argentina can still go through here, by the way. You know, if that's a draw, if Nigeria win, which I would have thought would be the two results they would prefer, then they go and play Nigeria. But Sergio Aguero asked after, you know, whether Sampaoli was right to say that some of his players didn't manage to play with the system. He just replied sharply, well, he can say whatever he likes. When you see things like that, you think complete disarray behind the scenes and it's all going off. And you do worry. And if they did manage to get through, then most likely to play France.
Who looked much better yesterday.
They do look a lot better. And if you're moaning, if anybody's moaning about some of the commentary that we've got on our television screens, which I think is harsh, because I think
Koisty, come on.
Oh, no, absolutely. The pinnacle. I think Koisty and Champion. In Argentina, the commentators were swearing.
Wow.
And my good man Slappy turned to his...
Slappy again?
Yeah.
Well, Slappy, that's it. Slappy Watch. Slappy Watch.
It's where I get my info.
Yeah, great.
And he turned to people he was watching with and was like... Why? The commentators are swearing, and they just went, that's Argentina.
Wow, okay. I quite like that.
They're fighting amongst themselves.
I quite like that. I'd love
Roy Keane off the leash in the studio.
I'd love it if England win the World Cup and when the winning goal goes in, the commentator just goes, oh, fucking hell!
You wouldn't want... imagine old Basher Davis saying that.
Basher D wouldn't lower himself.
No, he wouldn't.
Would he?
Oh, shit.
Apparently there's a documentary about Basher coming out.
Is there?
Called The Man, The Myth, The Legend or something like that. Or cool. The Man, The Voice, The Legend.
Love that.
Oh, Pat Bonner.
Oh.
You prick.
Oh, documentary about my life. What a contrast to the previous documentary.
Right, we are going to talk about France and Peru after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
That was against Argentina as well.
Has to be played at maximum volume there.
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. If Argentina do get through, I think I'm right in saying that they could face France. Group C and D, they would clash.
I just consulted the wall chart behind me, and yes, you are right.
Yeah, gutted for Peru.
Yeah.
Oh.
Again, it's like we were saying about Morocco. The really sad thing is that they didn't have a moment to cheer. They didn't have a goal. They didn't have anything.
They still might have a goal. But it's
effectively a meaningless goal.
I mean, they've been fantastic, haven't they? Their support has been brilliant. In the commentary, you know, they were saying that they couldn't really see any French fans. It was like they've never seen such a sort of dominant display from fans, I suppose.
Well,
in a way.
It is interesting because I remember
it was like a home game for Peru, though.
Yeah, I remember in 2002 when one of the Denmark midfielders said when England played them, he said after when the English national anthem was played, he'd look around and was like, oh my goodness, this is like a home game for England. Hmm. But, you know, England...
Beat them as well, didn't we? Smashed them.
We did that day.
Yeah. Back in your box. But who was it?
England, Denmark.
Who was it who said that? Gravison? Back in your box.
Could have been Gravison. But you should have... At the time, England used to take often the biggest support to tournaments.
Yeah.
And obviously, due to performances and one thing and another, that support has understandably diminished over recent tournaments. But Peru turned out... people didn't realise this. And as you say, people kept saying they added so much colour to the tournament and to Moscow in particular and so on. For them not to have anything to cheer, really. Yeah, okay, sure, they can be proud of their team and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
That shot that hit the... sort of the top of the bar and the post.
Yeah.
That is as close to a perfect goal as you're going to get without it actually going in.
And Guerrero had a chance in the first half. When he beat the defender, I was thinking, across the keeper. And he smashed it.
He just doesn't look sharp.
Yeah.
He looks like a player who's got a great amount of talent, but it's because he's a bit older, it's taken a bit longer than usual to come back from injuries, and he's just not sharp. He's not match fit.
But really, it was the Denmark performance that killed him. You know, it's a bit like with Australia. Australia, they've got that point. They go into the final game with a bit of hope, and we'll talk about them in a sec.
Penalty.
But with Peru, like, losing to Denmark, that is the problem. And they're playing France. It's always going to be a tall order. France, fairly underwhelming from them, but they got the job done. And we've seen teams do this before, haven't we? Be fairly underwhelming, go through the motions, and then they explode in the group stage.
There's a lesson for everyone with France. They learned from their mistakes in the first game, as Andy said they would on the step last week. They drop Dembele, who's I think he's a 100 million euro player or something, isn't he? One of the best, most exciting young players in world football. Drop him for Giroud, who is really... the most, I mean, you could argue Conte is, But Giroud is probably their France's most important player.
Yeah.
You put him up front as a focal point and watch all those runners run off him. Mm. It's incredible how important he is for them. And
French Emil Heskey, are you calling him?
Yeah, but imagine if Emil Heskey was like decent.
And scored.
It's basically like that. He is such an important player for them. And I think with him as a focal point and all these other players getting past him, the ball just sticks to him. He brings other players into play. He's strong.
Mbappe appreciated him having him.
Absolutely. He's experienced. Nothing seems to faze him. He's such an important player for them. And although it wasn't perfect from France against Peru, there's still an improvement to be made. They look so much more balanced with him in the team, and he has to start every game for them, I think.
It's interesting with France. Yeah, and I agree with all that. It's interesting with France. Are they going to be the side that really disappoints in this tournament, where you think, are they going to get going, and they don't, because you always have a side like that, Belgium, in 2014. Or are they going to be the side who, and we've seen them before in 06, you know, they weren't great at all in the group, and they ended up reaching the final, and were, you know, if it wasn't for a penalty shootout, would have won the competition. I'm not sure. I really am not sure. But with the quality they have, I'm just erring on someone's going to get hiding in the second round or something like that.
Everything's there for them to click. I mean, they struggled with their actual, the quality of their performances in qualifying as well, didn't they? They drew 0-0 with, was it Luxembourg? They had that ridiculous result. And this has been the sense around this French squad for a long time, isn't it? That they haven't delivered the eye-catching performances that the team on paper should deliver. So it's really, really tough to say. But look, you know, they've got two quite functional wins where they've done exactly what they've needed to do, haven't sort of overly exerted themselves. You think of all of the teams we've seen so far, they look like the ones who are primed to actually do that. Them and perhaps Spain, who've had two quite unusual performances that have contrasted very much. But I'm looking forward to seeing what France do. I was watching it with my flatmate when we were saying that if France played England, you think they'd shut us out and frustrate us. And
I think France would murder him.
You think they'd murder them? I don't know if they would.
Well,
because I think they would look at the threat England pose and snuff it out. I think this is perhaps something France are being overlooked for what they're doing in terms of how they're stopping opponents playing.
Well, I've obviously been a bit churlish about England there, but I think France, if they played a game like that, I don't know. I think they'd all raise it. I think maybe there's an element of it among the players.
They haven't really played anyone good yet.
Well, I think that's it. Don't ever underestimate that at a World Cup, because I think when a side is clearly so much better on paper than their opposition, there is a kind of, okay, let's
just snuff them out.
Yes, let's get this done. You know, we've seen Germany do that plenty of times in tournaments as well. But going back to Peru.
Not this one.
Can we just have a little reminder that Germany need to lose to Mexico?
Yeah, they haven't won yet.
Well, Ricardo Gareca's side, Peru, of course, attempted 27 shots without scoring at the World Cup thus far. Only Morocco have had more without a goal. And they're the two sides that I've been most gutted about.
I had a bit of a revelation yesterday. Sort of first thing this morning, given the time difference. Chap I played with in New Zealand when I played there for a while.
Oh, we all remember that.
Yeah.
Luke Moore's New Zealand jaunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on. What happened?
Carol.
No, you played semi-pro out?
No.
Oh, did you not?
I played for a sort of good Saturday team there.
Oh, okay.
There's no professional league in New Zealand, so it would be the equivalent of that in terms of the level.
But you maybe inspired them.
But I couldn't get in the team anyway, and that's not the point. The point is, I was part of the squad, but not part of the team. The point is that the best player that we had there was a guy called James Pritchett. And I didn't put two and two together until he told me yesterday on Facebook that he played at Cambridge United under Hervé Renard.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Yeah. What a lovely one. He said he's exactly as you'd imagine him, even back then.
Yes.
And he said so he used to be really suave and really sort of
sexy.
Yeah, but he was also really, really strict, to the point where he said he used to walk the high street in Cambridge at 2 a.m. to try and catch players out on the piss.
That's brilliant.
Wow.
And my mate James said that that he got caught by Renard using the cash point at about 2 a.m. on like a Saturday night after a game. And obviously he couldn't explain it away, because why else would you be using the cash point that time in the morning? And he said the next couple of days after that, they were doing some training, of course, and they were doing sprints. And Renard was doing it as well and was decent still. He's obviously still quite fit. Because this would be 16 years ago, so you can imagine what Ronaldo was like then.
Well, yeah.
And he said, my mate James pulled his hamstring, and afterwards when Ronaldo went in to go and see him in the physio's room or whatever, Ronaldo said to the physio, you know what his problem is, what he's done to his hamstring? Too much Saturday night. That's what he said. And he never, and I think he got released after that. He never played, didn't play beyond that season.
Oh.
So that was the end of his professional career.
Blimey, very strict indeed.
But yeah, he did go on to be capped by New Zealand, did James? He's a good, very good player.
There you are, you see.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
A bit of a Renard update.
Love that.
There.
Love that.
But before we move on, I must just quickly say that France are 7-1 to win the World Cup with Bet365. £10 on that returns £80 should they repeat the heroics of 1998. A lot of people fancy them coming into the tournament.
Yeah, I'm
still, and they're still in there.
They're still in there.
Two wins out of two.
New Zealand's neighbours, if you know what I mean, Australia, got I think it's a good point against Denmark. I think it has to go down as a good point because they're still alive. And considering how downbeat some were on the Australian squad before the World Cup, being in a group playing France first and so on and so forth, you have to say that Van Marwijk's done a good job. They're all the cliches, resilient, organised, they know what they're doing.
They had some good spells against Denmark, but in the second half particularly.
Well, they looked the more likely towards the end of the game. And I say a little bit of luck with VAR with the penalty. This is the thing, when I first saw it, I was like, no way is that a penalty. And then I thought, no, it's not. And then I saw it again this morning. I thought, maybe it is.
But so what you're saying by its very definition is it's not obvious.
Yeah.
Mm. So.
Yeah, well, there you are.
What can you do?
But anyway, Jedinak's not going to ask too many questions, is he?
Told you, he's a man who gets stuff done. No mucking about. Yeah, give me that. I'll take that pen. Get that out of the way.
Come on. We need a point. Otherwise, we're out. Thank you. But Eriksen's goal was a beauty.
Oh, what a
beauty.
I don't even know how you hit it like that. Yeah. I struggled to do that on FIFA.
you make a decent argument to say that Eriksen is one of the most underrated players in the world. Mm. He's never really seriously linked with big moves. Despite him being such a consistent performer at club and country levels, particularly recently under this new manager, Herrera. But for Spurs, he's brilliant every week. One of the standout players in the Premier League. How much they sign him for? £8 million, something like that?
Yeah,
just seems to go about his business. Doesn't muck around, just gets on with it.
Do you think that is partially because he plays for what you might call an unfashionable country?
But that can go either way, though, can't it? Sometimes if you do play for a country like that, if you think of someone like, I don't know, going way back, someone like George Weah, who's the only real Liberian player worthy of the name, you know, in terms of that level of performance.
Marion Pahars.
Well, quite, exactly. Well,
I think that like maybe Scandinavian players aren't seen as being exotic.
Has he been hiding in the shadow of Bentner? That's a possible explanation.
That shadow is long.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Bentner told me that shadow covers the whole squad.
Any interest in Denmark having some quite pleasingly named players like Martin Braithwaite and Thomas Delaney?
Cornelius?
Yeah, but that sounds like a. I suppose it doesn't really sound. That doesn't really sound like a Danish name. But you know, those two Danish names sound quite British, is what I mean.
True, fair enough. When Eriksen scored, I thought Denmark will go on here to win the game, and of course they didn't. And then Australia, as I said, looked more likely to go and win it. I sort of worry a little bit about Denmark. You know, they were fortunate to win against Peru. They've got a point here. They may well go through because Australia will fail if Australia fail to beat.
Peru. Yeah.
But Peru will be up for it. They want to give their fans a cheer. So if Australia, if Denmark do sneak through, I think they could get a hiding.
But I think we're in a situation where, I mean, I'm not suggesting they'll do this, but France and Denmark can just exchange a very gentle draw, can't they?
Yeah, they could. But so if Denmark go through, I'm saying I think they could get hiding in the second round. Okay. If they play Croatia, I think Croatia could. I really think Croatia could do them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Croatia have shown themselves to be much better and much more consistent so far. But the problem is with the World Cup, as ever, is you're only taking that across two games, aren't you? So
it's only the second game.
It's a small. What's it called? A small sort of sample size.
Yeah, Andrew Nabu, I think it's pronounced, had to go off with a suspected dislocated shoulder for Australia. Very in vogue, isn't it? That injury,
what a fashionable injury.
that was so innocuous, though.
It was, Jim.
It's like that.
Also, well, Gareth Southgate in the woods.
To me, every time I try and pick something up, my shoulder's going to pop out because all he did was put his arm on the floor.
But you often sort of pop and lock, don't you? Your way through life.
Yeah. I'm worried that young cameraman Sam's going to dislocate his shoulders because it's fashionable to do it now. In East London, they'll all be doing it. Yeah.
Well, there'll be a cafe where they'll pull it out for you.
Yeah.
Never have I seen a man's face want a microphone in front of it so much.
Yeah. You've got to earn that, right?
All right. We earned our right, didn't we? My goodness.
Some of us did.
Indeed. Yeah. But Peru will want to win that last match to give their fans a cheer. But the Aussies have got a good support.
They almost certainly will be bullied out of it and lose about 3-0. By three penalties.
Yeah. Let's look ahead to today's fixtures. Brazil, Costa Rica, reduce. So apparently Neymar's fit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's good or bad for them, as we've been learning from Lionel Messi.
Based on the last World Cup, it's good.
Yes. Yes, Jimmy, you're absolutely right. Although Cheech was saying that it's ridiculous to suggest that Neymar has been trying to do it all himself and so on and so forth. But that is a man who clearly didn't see what was going on in the first game. However, there's a man with a much better plan than the likes of Sampaoli, and you'd imagine he's on top of that.
They feel much more settled. But what they do have to do...
A great harmony in the camp as well. They're just loving it. They love being there.
But there are still serious improvements to be made. And then from what I saw against Switzerland, what they actually have to do is they have to say to Neymar, look, I don't want you to come back anywhere deeper than about 40 yards from Costa Rica's goal, because he wants to... Regardless of what the tactics are, Neymar's the sort of guy who wants to go and find the ball all the time. Yeah. And that is admirable. But there's too much of him doing too much stuff deep. I mean, we saw it with Argentina. I think it's a hallmark of a team who are struggling when their star players going into their own half to get the ball. Unless they're playing in that position anyway. Neymar needs to just get up there, stay up there, affect the game in the dangerous parts of the pitch a lot more, and they'll find themselves having a lot more success.
I'll tell you what Cheech should do. You know, I'm surprised it's taken us this long
to say. Get Chonging as his assistant.
He should do that. Yeah. he should take a leaf out of Neil Warnock's book.
Leaf.
Warnock. Warnock.
Just play Neymar higher up the pitch.
Warnock would fine Adel Tarrat if he came back in his own half.
Yeah.
Presumably not before kickoff. That would be particularly
Neymar's
unfair.
Neymar's not really in the same league, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, that is true. Well, neither's Cheech.
No.
Or Chiche, as some call it. So, you know, that's just mine. And
they should have more than
opinions.
Enough to get past Costa Rica, shouldn't they?
You know. Yeah. Indeed. And they love the World Cup Brazil. They do love the World Cup.
Yeah.
Nigeria versus Iceland. Argentina will be watching on, of course. Iceland coach Jaime Hallgrímsson said, we expect to win.
And they should do. I think they should. I don't think Nigeria are anything to be scared of.
If they win that game, give themselves an enormous chance.
Don't they just? And this is the one, I think everybody's looking at this thinking Iceland are going to come out a little bit more and try and get something out of this, because, you know, this is the team in this group you want to try and pick off. And that'll be interesting for Nigeria too, because the problem with Iceland that you know Argentina had and many teams have had when they face them in the past is it's the wall, isn't it? It's the wall from Game of Thrones. You can't get through it. It's just so thick and icy.
The clapping
it's not
wall.
Happening.
You can get through it because in Game of Thrones there's like a little tunnel underneath.
Yeah, but they've cut that up as well. They've shut that out.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realise that.
They've got a defender on it. They've got a man on it.
I've been to Iceland and it is very much like Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yeah. I probably bumped into like four of their players because, as you know, there's only about 45 people that live in Iceland in total.
Uh-huh. That so, many these days?
Yeah.
I just thought it was the bare 11.
Population explosion after Euro 2016.
But they are going to have to try and go out and win this game in a way that we've not seen before. So that plays into Nigeria's hands. So there's going to be quite an intriguing one, I think.
It will be an intriguing one. Serbia versus Switzerland is obviously the other game. Now is the time for Mitro to shine.
Yes, it is. And I think he missed so many chances in the first game that if his World Cup is going to get off the ground and Pete Darson's going to get rich off him and Mitro's going to get that move he wants so badly, he needs to get one against Switzerland. He's 4-1 to be first goal scorer tonight against Switzerland with Bet365. £10 returns, £50 including stake. I quite fancy him to get one tonight.
I always fancy him to get one.
Tight defence though, Switzerland.
Yeah, but
don't concede many.
Yeah, but you need some sort of sexy brute to bash them open.
And I've seen some flames come up from the Serbia camp, which leads me to believe that Mitro may in fact be on fire.
Okay.
Which will then, of course, lead to the idea that Switzerland will indeed be terrified.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Before we go, it looks like you've got an email in your hand, Jim.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to bloody read it.
Right, okay.
Hi, all. Hope this isn't too late to make it into the running order. Nope, we just snuck you in, pal.
Yeah. Came in last minute.
Last doors.
Yeah. After your discussion of the commentators and pundits on UK TV, I thought you might be interested to hear the slightly unusual lay of the land here in Germany vis-a-vis pundits.
They're not swearing like the Argentinians.
No. German telly has gone for the polar opposite approach to the UK for the majority of games, with just one pundit in the studio, a studio that isn't even in Russia, let alone done up like a church or the Moscow metro. Fortunately, 75% of the time, that pundit is none other than Thomas de Hammer Hitzelsberger,
nice.
Who has been offering insight on three games a day, mostly on his own,
earning, he's put in an absolute shift.
He's got overworked.
Earning him the nickname De Trooper in my house. Right. Only for big games is he joined by another pundit, usually Oliver Kahn, and occasionally he's the third wheel in a very unusual quirk of German telly. In search for expert analysis, they sometimes draft in an expert from one of the countries playing, only that expert tends not to speak German, so they live dub them speaking and then act like they all speak the same language.
That's brilliant.
Nodding along with the answers. So far, we've had Christian Carambo for France, Zé Roberto for Brazil, and the inimitable René Higuita for Colombia.
Oh, great.
He's looking as resplendent as ever.
Still the same hair?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Clearly, the requirements for being an expert pundit on German TV don't run to being able to speak German, but do involve having a cracking head of hair. All the best from Berlin, Michal Maguire.
Great stuff,
Ramblefreund.
Yeah.
As he rightly says.
Nice one, Maguire.
How the hell is René Higuita getting a working visa in the EU?
Yeah.
How is he getting here on a working visa? You're showing a picture there, Jim, and he still does look exactly the same.
Yeah,
that sounds exactly amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any previous convictions?
Yeah, I'm not sure if... is the ITV studio actually in Russia?
I don't know. I mean...
The BBC are all out there.
Yeah,
I don't think the ITV are.
So we think.
No, they are. They definitely are out
right.
there. They definitely are.
No, but was Lee Dixon on comms?
Yeah.
Well, he's in the studio as well, so they must be
out
there.
Oh, okay. All right, so it's a mystery. We don't know how media works. Are we in Russia now?
Yeah.
There we go.
The live dubbing's fascinating to me.
That's class.
Yeah, I'd like to see a video of that, to be honest.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for that.
Michal, a long-term emailer.
There we are. Well, thank you very much for you, listeners, for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. Goodbye from me. Goodbye from Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from London. London, goodbye.
Mitro scores tonight, I'm telling you. It happens.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.